Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is that word of God that has just been written and spoken, read, Acts 1:1-11. So friends in Christ, some time ago you may recall, as you think back, that our synod had developed some programs for commercial television in order that we might be able to get the message of Christ out to the world, which is our real calling. As some of you may recall some of the names, one was Christmas Is, and then there was Easter Is. Today, as we think of another historical event in the life of Christ that Christians cherish and kind of a milestone, an important point in the historical record, it seems appropriate that we might, as we cherish that ascension message of the time Jesus leaves after 40 days of witnessing, proving his resurrection, that we might then coin another one of those terms, the ascension is. And we note two things. The ascension is a time to reflect upon what Christ accomplished, his mission. And secondly, a time to then urgently share this message with others. As we think of that importance, that wonderful message of reflecting on Jesus' work, we note in our text, first of all, he makes it clear what this mission is as Jesus finishes his work. And obviously, it's completed, it's victorious. But the disciples seem to have some confusion about it, as we just heard in we notice in verse 6, as they say, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They're kind of vague as to just what is happening, even though they had been with Jesus for 3 years. They seem to think perhaps he will restore an earthly kingdom like David and set up, overthrow the Romans or something like that, kind of shades of millennialism even today. As we think of the text also pointing out that work that Jesus came to accomplish, when Luke in verse 1 says, all that Jesus began to do and teach. And so as we think of that marvelous gospel message, really that is now completed, that sacrifice for our sins, that's the real center of our life, our goal, our purpose of existence. So the challenge again today is to, in a meaningful, significant way, share that message with one another, that we might be empowered to go out and share it with others. In a way, even though the story is familiar, but in an interesting, exciting way that gives us new insights as we see new facets in that work of Christ for us. To do this, I thought an object would be helpful, strangely enough, a seat belt. And let me explain how that works. As if you have a curiosity, a mind that keeps probing for questions and answers, when I was repairing a car with a seat belt, putting one on, I was simply intrigued, and the thought went through my mind, how does this thing work when it's like a window shade, you pull it, and it then goes back in, and so what would hold you in an impact? It seemed rather strange, and when I studied and looked at the device, I realized what an ingenious piece of equipment, and how it would serve well, in a sense, to illustrate the work of Christ. As we think of a number of things, the very presence of a seat belt reminds us that death is with us. As we think of the need for a seat belt implies that there is the problem of physical death, and so spiritually, the setting for Christ. We see spiritual death, eternal death, the need that he has to address. The seatbelt was designed to prevent death, specifically for that purpose of holding, restraining the driver, the passenger, so they are not killed physically. Christ comes to prevent spiritual, eternal death on our part. A plan had to be designed, and one has to admire, as you study this, the designer, the draftsman that met that need. And so spiritually, the Father in heaven designs the plan that he will have to send his own dear Son to be the Savior, the ransom price, so that we are freed as the power of the Spirit works that and convinces us with that saving faith. It seems rather incidental, You can't see it from there, but there's a little pendant here that swings just a little bit in each direction, rather incidental in the whole mechanism, and yet it's vital. We'll point that out in a moment. Christ seemed rather incidental to the world also, as he comes as the answer to prevent spiritual eternal death, as he was not even born in Rome, the seat of the great empire, but far off Bethlehem, and not among the wealthy or the influential, but among the humble. We see also, even in his life, not having a lot of wealth, and in his death, his disciples forsake him. Looks rather incidental, as though, what's this going to do? And yet it was the right person. Even as this little gadget, the pendant, is right, it's not made of wood, it's not made of aluminum, but it's of lead. And it also can pivot in any direction. It's the right thing, as we'll see in a moment, for that solution. Christ comes as the right person, true God, so he can live perfectly, also true man, so that he can be in the right category as our substitute. The soul that sins, it shall die. A human being is the one who had to therefore pay the price. We notice then it does the job, and how the thing works. When there's an impact of any kind, perhaps 15 miles, a sudden stop, as the belt then would tend to go, as I move just the little pendant just a moment, it immediately locks. With any direction, it will hold it fast. And we realize what an ingenious device, that the impact will swing the lead just enough so it will lock the device so it will not keep unreeling. And so as we think of Christ also as one hanging on the cross, as one who is risen, if he had simply chosen to come down, it would not have worked. We would not have salvation. We would not have the freedom from sin. As we think of the blessing this day and reflecting upon time to think of what Christ's mission was, that he did suffer, he did die, he rose again victoriously, so we have salvation. And life is spared, even as the seatbelt has saved thousands of lives as they use that. So with Christ, the guilt, the punishment, the penalty were spared because of his action as it touches our lives. And we learn to appreciate it. One cannot help but appreciate then the designers in the automotive business. They were able to come up with such an ingenious design that would work and yet be convenient, so you could take it on and off when there is no sudden jar or jolt of the car. And so we pause today as we use this as a time, the Ascension as a time of contemplating what Christ has accomplished for us as we center our life in him. Having done his job well, what remains? The Ascension then is a time to challenge us to effectively and urgently go out and share this message. In our text, we note that as Luke himself then records that, so the readers in the future will know the message so that they can have the blessings also, as well as Jesus' words read in verse 8. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth, as well as the two men, the angels, who bring the disciples back to the reality and put a time perimeter on it. Now the time you remain, but for a purpose, as you'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Why stand ye gazing into heaven? He will come again. But meanwhile, and so the challenge for us also is to trust in that work ourselves, as even with the seatbelt, one learns to trust the laws of nature, gravity and motion, and in that way can find some real security and serenity and peace. With Christ, too, we also then have that assurance that as we trust in him, whether it's in new doors opening or old doors closing, whether it's struggling with illness or whether it's the challenge and opportunity that God presents before us, we can trust in him to be effective and to do his task. As we think of the seat belt, we need to use it. It doesn't do much good just being there, as thousands can testify that it is indeed effective. And so the word Christ, we need to use ourselves so that knowing it makes us free, and knowing this is the impact upon others, his word shall not return him void. And that's the promise, as we then learn to share it. The publicity, otherwise the cars wouldn't be equipped with it. So with us, the publicity of witnessing Christ, so others hear about how we can be saved, how they can be saved eternally also. In closing, let me give one personal illustration. When cars were not all equipped at first with seat belts, we had bought a new car as we were serving in Michigan, and I ordered seat belts because of the publicity. It got my attention. It convinced me this is the thing to do. The very day I got them, I put them on. We were invited as a family to one of our members' homes for supper and had a nice meal. On the way back, it was dark. Having grown up in central Illinois, I didn't realize the danger of deer in the area. But as we rounded a bend, all of a sudden, there in the middle of the road, a deer was standing. I slammed on the brakes instinctively and stopped just in time. And I looked and saw my wife had the seatbelt on, holding our youngest, the children in the back. And life was spared because it had gotten my attention to use this and to therefore install it. And I was convinced, and physical life was saved, spared. As we think then of the ascension, what it is, a time in which we therefore reflect on God's marvelous plan for us and rejoice in that. And then secondly, as we also then urgently share that message with others that they might be saved also, as we go into action with that mission and message, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.